All right, where do we start? There was a really big data breach today. I'm going to come back to the really big data breach and talk about that in probably great detail for probably the most of the blog post today. What blog post? Video. I'm very tired from processing the very big data breach. So I'm going to come back to that in a moment. A little bit of stuff around travel and upcoming events and things first. Today, recording this at about midday on Thursday, I am heading to Norway. In fact, I thought that I might do this one from Norway, but then I realized I just want to go snowboarding and chill out and just not worry about that stuff. So I am recording this a little bit earlier. I may end up pushing it out from Dubai from the airport, just so it sort of times in timing-wise. So I am heading off to Norway this afternoon. I'm taking my 9-year-old son, Ari, with me. We'll come back to Ari in a moment. Heading off to Norway, meeting up with Scott Helmer, one of the organisers in Oslo, heading out to the mountains in Norway, going to spend a few days on the snow, doing things that are very opposite to what they are here. I just got out of the pool. It's 30 degrees outside, about 34 degrees in the pool because they've got the solar thing going. Absolutely stunning day. I got up this morning. There was a dolphin swimming by in the backyard. I put a little video of that on Twitter before. It was just super, super cool. And I'm going to go from this to when I checked it yesterday, minus 18. So I'm like maxing out the sunshine at the moment. So I'm going to go to Norway and do that. I will be at NDC in Oslo, NDC Security in Oslo next week. 2-day workshop, Hack Yourself First, still tickets available for that. Doing the conference thing on Friday next week, doing a talk there, as well as other people such as Scott and a bunch of other smart folks, doing talks at NDC Security. Off to London after that, so I will be in London the week after next, which, let me see if I get this right, Friday is 4 days, 28th, week of the 28th, and we will be doing NDC London there, so that will be the big event, another 2-day workshop there, plenty of tickets left for that one as well, and then the conference, and Ari will be doing a talk on how kids can learn to code, and in fact, more specifically, how parents can teach their kids to learn to code. And he has been working very hard on his talk. We got a few things in there which I think will be super cool. Every single time I share anything about kids doing code, everyone just goes, oh, this is just so, like all the happy vibes come out. You know, everyone goes, this is so awesome. In fact, maybe people don't notice this, but I have been consciously, when there's been like conflict or just unpleasant shit going on the Twitters, I'll share something related to the kids coding and it just uplifts the whole move. It's just a really positive thing. So he's going to be doing that. He's going to be talking about several different ways kids can learn that sort of progress through, say, my daughter's age and younger, so she's 6 years old, to him as a 9-year-old, to sort of where he's going next around actually building some web pages. So I'm really looking forward to that. I'm going to be doing a brand new talk in both Oslo and London called Hack to the Future. It's a lot of stuff around new and emerging technologies and security constructs. Many of the things that I've spoken about here before, but things that generally tend to be very new, particularly to a big developer audience. That'll be recorded, so I won't sort of spoil what's going to be in there just now, but that'll be coming up, and I've been spending a heap of time the last couple of weeks preparing for that. I will also be doing Everything is Cyberbroken with Scott Helm. We're actually going to do this. It's only going to be a London one as part of the, I think we're doing like the party talk. And I've got some really fun stuff coming up for that. Some things Scott's seen before. A bunch of stuff Scott hasn't seen before because part of the fun of Cyberbroken is seeing Scott squirm. This is not a recorded talk. And if you come to the talk, you'll kind of see why we don't record this and put this on the internet. But very, very good fun. So that'll be that. And then I'll come home. Now, another event I can talk about now because they have published it. I will be speaking at Snowfrock in Denver in Colorado on the 14th of March. And in fact, I'll be doing that in Denver. I'll be going to New York City straight after that. My first ever trip to New York, and I'm a little bit excited about that. I'll be there for a few days. Not sure if there'll be a public event or anything I can do. It might just be some other stuff which is less public. And then I'll be going over to Seattle and I'll be doing the MVP and Microsoft Regional Director Summits from there and then coming home. So that's what's coming up. That's on the horizon. So if you are around Oslo, London, Denver, New York City or Seattle, I may catch you. All right, on to the big thing. Oh boy, where do we start here? Let's start with the headline. The 773 million record Collection 1 data breach. Now, I want to again, sort of try and use this channel here, which is the weekly update, to give more context which may have been missing from the post, or at least sort of, I guess, put a little bit of emotion and sentiment behind it. Look, there are a lot of credential stuffing lists out there, and I've spoken about credential stuffing many times before. This is where bad guys have big lists of email addresses and passwords, and then they use them to try and break into your other things. I spoke about Spotify just last week, and the fact that I see so many Spotify data breaches. For people listening, I'm air quoting that. And in fact, what it is credential reuse and these credential stuffing lists being used to see who has a Spotify account. Then people bundle them all together and they go, here you go, Spotify's had a breach, here's the datas. So these credential stuffing lists are not new. There are untold numbers of them. They get repurposed. They get morphed into something a little bit different. There's new breaches happening. There's old stuff. It's not like there is just this clear credential stuffing list. So one of the things that makes it a bit hard when there's an incident like this is to figure out, is this something sufficiently new to justify making a song and dance about? Writing a blog post, putting in the Have I Been Pwned, sending people emails. So I have to sort of go through this sort of assessment process. Now, this popped up last week. In fact, if you recall last week, in this weekly video, I said, look, I'm processing something really, really big. Popped up last week, and it popped up by virtue of a couple of people pointing me to the data itself on Mega. And also, someone pointed me to a popular hacking forum which was discussing it. Now, that doesn't mean this data only appeared last week. It just means I didn't know about it until last week. And frankly, if it had just been one person who said, look, here's this thing, I'd be like, okay, well, there's a lot of one people popping up saying, here's a thing. It's when you see a pattern, and then when you look at that and you see more people discussing it, and you go, hang on a moment, this is something which, for whatever reason, it's floating to the surface at the moment and it's getting more visibility. Because what that means is that now you've got a bunch of people finding the same data and using it for exactly the sorts of things that people use against services like Spotify. So that was sort of the first bit, the fact that this has obviously come to the surface, is circulating and is popular now. The second thing is it's obviously rather big. Now, the raw numbers, just in case you haven't read the blog post, is in total, just under 2.7 billion unique records. Now, 2.7 billion is a fun number because it is a little bit more than what a 32-bit integer can hold, which means that there are all sorts of things that may fail if you process that number. Many years ago, when Have I Been Pwned first broke through the 2.1 something billion 32-bit integer, broke through that number, I had some problems because I had done things like, oh, you know what I should do? I should have the data type, which holds the number of breaches on a particular, or number of records rather, in a particular breach. I should make that a 32-bit integer. And then what will happen is I'll just, you know, I'll add them all together, and then on the front page, Have I Been Pwned, there'll be a number. And then I got past the 2.1 billion mark, and I know, yeah, that doesn't work. I need a 64-bit integer. Little problem, but it was things like that. So, for example, I couldn't do a count of the rows in SQL after I imported them. I have to use a count big. I had never had to use a count big. I didn't know there was a count big. There is a count big in SQL for when you get over 32-bit integer size. And then inevitably it just returns a big int in SQL Server. So that was fun. So 2.7 billion rows. Now that distilled down to 1.1 and a bit billion unique combinations of email address and password. And inevitably what we're seeing here is a lot of repetition throughout the data. So, you know, obviously that's, what's that, like 2.5 to 1 sort of ratio of the same stuff appearing over and over again. And unfortunately, I had to import all that and try and crunch it. Incidentally, this is why I have this super chunky laptop. This is my, I'm holding up for those of you not sort of watching and listening instead, my Lenovo P50. And this is the machine that has a Xeon processor, 64 gigabytes of RAM, also has a couple of other internal disks. So one of the great things about this machine over every other laptop I have is that I can put in external disks. So there's a terabyte of spinning RUST disk and a couple of NVMe drives, which are obviously SSD, and it just gives me a heap of capacity for doing stuff. A lot of people say to me when I'm processing data, and I tweet figures or something like that, they say, oh, you should just do it all in the cloud. Because if it's all in the cloud, No problems. I have got, and actually, let me embellish on that. They say no problems because you just add more cloud. It's like, oh, that's a really big data set. Add more cloud, turn the dial around. Now, I've got a blog post that's been in draft for at least a couple of years, because I remember where I was when I started writing it, about why the cloud is not always the answer. I started writing it when I was sitting in the passenger seat of a car with a bloke driving through Scotland with no signal, and I was processing data breaches. I could do it, because on the laptop. Another good reason is, and I shared a tweet on this, the database that I did end up using in Azure, because I needed to actually scale up the normal Have I Been Pwned database, cost $22,000 a month. That is a difficult conversation to have with my wife if I have to run that for very long. And I did actually go to her and say, oh, sweetie, I'm going to tweet something. It's going to look a bit scary. Here's what it is. I'm going to suggest that maybe people would like to donate a coffee if they find themselves in it. So the cloud, and this is another whole tangential thing, fantastic in so many ways, but there are some things it just doesn't do well. So most of the processing happens on my laptop in terms of all the raw crunching of data, and then it's really just the loading into Have I Been Pwned, which happens on the cloud. Anyway, let me go with the numbers. So 1.1 billion combinations of unique email address and password, 772,900,000, rounded off to 773 million, unique combinations of email address and, let me rephrase that. I've got to go back a bit. The 1.1 billion is distinct combinations of email address, not case sensitive, and password case sensitive. The 773 million, which is the headline here, is unique email addresses, not case sensitive. So that's sort of the number we're dealing with. And going back to sort of what criteria makes this suitable for Have I Been Pwned, first of all, very large, significant number. Secondly, when I started throwing email addresses from this collection against Have I Been Pwned, I'm going to check my actual number here, I found that 81.89% of the email addresses were already in there. Conversely, around about 18% of the email addresses, or about 140 million, had never been seen in Have I Been Pwned before. Now, I went through and eyeballed a bunch of these just to make sure they weren't just like parsing crap. And they weren't. They were legitimately formed email addresses. So that was another factor, right? Like, there is all this new data. There are all these other people who now, when they come to Have I Been Pwned, will see their email address there and they'll see a hit for it. And they'll have that light bulb moment about using a password manager, strong unique passwords, hopefully 2FA as well. And really, this is kind of the point, right? Like, why put this in there? Well, because I want people to know their data is out there and I want them to change behaviors. I often get flack from people because they say, oh, yeah, for example, Troy said on Twitter that someone was at fault because they had a shit password and they used it everywhere. What he really should be doing is educating people. Well, this is the education, and there is no more poignant an education than getting an email from me saying, your email address has been in a data breach. It's out there circulating with your password. You should think about not using the same password everywhere else. So, you know, this is like the education piece. So moving on, it's big, it's very unique, it's circulating. Now, there's a few interesting things going on here. So get past that. The risk, I kind of wrote this blog post with the expectation that a lot of people will come to it who are not techie people, who don't live in data breach land, who wonder why I have their data. And one of the reasons why I know this happens is when I did my 2018 retrospective, I think it was like the three biggest blog posts were blog posts from 2017. So the most visited blog posts in 2018 were ones I wrote the year before. And the reason why is because there are blog posts like this one, which were linked to from the breach description, Have I Been Pwned? So Have I Been Pwned gets a huge amount of traffic. People go there, search for email address, find themselves pwned, here's a link to read more about it, bang, over into my blog post. So this is why I wanted it to be consumer-centric. So I've done things like embedded this little video here of someone showing how to use an automated Spotify credential stuffing tool. So maybe people don't fully understand it, but at least they can click on it and go, hey, 40 seconds later, someone is starting to get Spotify accounts because it's just taking email addresses and passwords and throwing them against the service. Getting back to the education piece, that the bit that I'm really trying to drive here is the password manager bit. And I've been trying to drive this message, I think, since 2011 now. I think that was when I sort of first rolled over to Password Manager. So we're on sort of 8 years now. And like, there's just no other feasible way. This is the best mousetrap we have at the moment. Other people can go and argue about whether we should have passwords anymore, different debate. But in terms of how we manage the ones we do have, you've got to have a password manager. And in fact, as I started processing this, I tweeted, when was this, on the 13th, so 4 days ago, I tweeted a little video from my iPhone of logging into Pinterest with 1Password. 1Password, the password manager, of course. Because you just hit the little sort of icon and you sort of fill in your details and it automatically puts it in and you log in. And it's easier than typing even a crappy password. And I tweeted this and I sort of made the point that this is like one of these rare exceptions where security actually enhances usability as well. So I'll talk about the 1Password bit for a bit. And this is sort of one of these points where I hope I add something that wasn't really in the blog post. Obviously, like I said, I rolled over to Password Manager 8 years ago. I rolled over to 1Password. Last year, I think it was March, April, 1Password, for the first time ever, actually partnered with Have I Been Pwned and turned it into something which is a commercial relationship. And I've been very, very clear about that. And now I'm sort of conscious of wanting to talk about this Password Manager I've been using for 8 years and I think is a really, really good tool. Plus, it integrates with my tool, Have I Been Pwned, but also being conscious not to make it a sales pitch. Because I'm not going to make any money if more people sign up to 1Password because of this blog post. There are no agreements predicated on conversions or anything like that. It doesn't work like that. So I was a little bit conscious about that. So I based on all the feedback I've had so far, I think the balance has been pretty good. There's been a few people who are like, you like 1Password enough that you partnered with them. Therefore, I'm a little bit unhappy that you say that you like them, even though it's like, yes, I have a partnership with them. But anyway, moving on to just sort of the functional technical things. The killer feature, which I didn't realize, completely honestly, I didn't realize how important this was until I loaded the data, is 1Password has this watchtower feature. And what the watchtower feature does is a whole bunch of different things related to looking at your risk, if you like, of your saved credentials as it relates to things like data breaches. So the 1Password partnership actually began when I released Pwned Passwords version 2 last year, and it had the K-anonymity model. So this is the anonymity model that Janard Ali from Cloudflare came up with, where you can pass like the first 5 characters of a SHA-1 hash of the password, and then you get back a whole bunch of suffixes, and then you match it, and the service never knows what the password was. So I built that, and I pushed it out with V2, and I think I checked the figures before, it was like 27 hours later, Cloudflare, 1Password had integrated it, totally without my knowledge, totally out of the blue. And it was actually after that the relationship started. And they got in very, very early, they built that in, and that has now become really valuable for incidents like this. They subsequently went on and moved from being able to check 1Password at a time to being able to check your entire keychain. So you can, if you've got 1,000 passwords in 1Password, and yes, there are people that have them according to some of the messages I've got today, 1Password can take every single one of those 1,000 passwords and check it against the anonymity model that Have I Been Pwned is running on. That is super, super cool, because in something like a credential stuffing list where I honestly just don't know where the data has come from, if you can take every single password, if you've got all unique passwords, and throw it against there, and then it comes back and it's like, yeah, here's where you've used it, that is, let me rephrase it. If it comes back and says, here is a password that is in 1Password, so many late nights. If it comes back and says, here is a password that is in Pwned Passwords, then that's really, really powerful. In fact, like, this is the last tweet I made before I came and started recording this this update. Someone actually tweeted at me, and I've just quote tweeted this. This is Anne McKay. So Anne says, finding Pwned passwords with 1Password, I received an email from Have I Been Pwned, discovered Watchtower on my 1Password, so I assume she was a subscriber already, discovered Watchtower on my 1Password, could find them, and I just changed 8 passwords found in breaches. So how cool is that? Like, this is why I'm having these late nights loading this data, because for this lady now, there's like 8 different accounts that aren't going to be compromised because she's using passwords that are already out there. This is super, super cool. I'm really, really happy to see this. Bunch of likes on that already, which is nice. So when I keep getting questions from people and they say, okay, I'm in this list, but I've got hundreds of passwords, what do I do? Well, if they're in 1Password, you just click the button and then you go and get a cup of coffee or something and you come back and you have your answers there. Now, incidentally, that API is free and it's open. It's got nothing to do with the partnership that I have with 1Password. If you're building a password manager, then build it in. I see a lot of people, in fact, I've seen a lot of people for the last year saying, hey, LastPass, why don't you build this in? If LastPass wants to build it in, they can. I have no exclusivity with 1Password or anything like that. The more people that use it, the better. Now, some people are understandably a little bit cautious. They say, well, I don't want to send a password to you. And that's not how K-anonymity works. And I can link to blog posts that explain it, but it's the internet. Some people like to be upset. If you really want to find out if your passwords are in there, but you don't trust the Have I Been Pwned interface or 1Password, there's an API, like locally on your machine, SHA-1 hash it, get the first 5 characters, send it to the API, get the response, find the suffix, job done. Like you can still check this, but it's going to require a bit of hard work. So that is that piece. Now, let's talk a little bit about pwned passwords, because this has upped the count from 517 million to 511 million. So that number has increased quite somewhat now, and that's it. Like nothing actually changes. Like you go to the API, it's still the same API. You're getting a few more results. I think I figured out it was only like 7% more passwords. So if you're consuming the API, everything still works. The only thing you might have noticed is I had to flush cache. So there will be a tiny, tiny uptick of cache misses whilst it goes to the origin, pulls it back, caches it at Cloudflare, but otherwise it will be fine. There is a new collection of downloadable SHA-1 hashes ordered by count, downloadable SHA-1 hashes ordered by hash, downloadable NTLM hashes ordered by count, downloadable NTLM hashes ordered by hash. I think I did pretty well getting that bit right under the circumstances. So all that's there. You can go and pull that data down. I've also linked through to projects where people have created little scripts that can actually check the NTLM ones against your Active Directory. So if you're in a corporate environment and you're running AD and you're like, hey, Troy's just added 40-something million new passwords. We'd like to see if our Active Directory folks are in there. You can do that. There are torrents to download it if you want to do the P2P thing. There are also links that will pull it from the origin, but Cloudflare massively caches it, thank God, because it would cost me a lot of money otherwise. So you can get super, super fast versions from Cloudflare as well. So that is it mechanically, I think. A few things to add here. Like this is just, I hate to say labor of love, but has it been a little bit like this? It's just been a week of late nights and early mornings. I normally get up about 5-ish or something like that to try and basically get stuff done while it's peaceful and I'm not watching dolphins. So it's been a lot of that and late nights, which are not normal for me. So this is why I'm struggling a little bit today. But I did get it all done. There's some really interesting technical challenges as I went through this, and I mentioned one of them being that I had to spin up a $22,000 a month SQL server. It's interesting that every time I tweet about anything I'm doing which shows that there is a technical difficulty or an effort or cost or something like that, there are always lots of, why don't you do it that way, this other way, tweets. And they're well-intentioned, and I appreciate that. But there's a few interesting things to think about here, and one of them is that basically I was in a situation where I have a mechanism that's been working very well across 340-plus data breaches. This was very exceptional to be this size, and I had to do a bunch of things differently. I did things a lot more manually, for example, because I just didn't trust some of the services I had not to time out and have various problems. Now, I am sure there are much more efficient ways of doing this. I'm sure that even with little tweaks to my code, there are much more efficient ways of doing it. But it is also hard to escape the fact that effort and changes and testing have a cost and a burden. And you sort of end up, and I'm sure we all have these challenges, not just in coding, but in life, end up with these challenges going, do I invest time to try and make things more efficient in the long term, but then there's like lead time and you know, time is money and all that sort of thing, or do I just like throw some money at the cloud and take some shortcuts just to get the thing done? And inevitably, I end up with a mix of those because I did make some improvements along the way too. There are always multiple layers of things going on that are not immediately visible on the surface. So, you know, someone said, well, why don't you just put it in Cosmos DB? Well, there are actually many reasons, not least of which is the way that table storage in Azure is used is actually much more cost effective than the current Cosmos pricing. So there's that side of things as well. It's a little bit of, I remember a mate of mine at work years ago was saying, you're too busy chopping down trees to sharpen the axe. You know, and maybe that the analogy here for many people is often you're so busy doing work, you don't get enough time to take out and sort of watch Pluralsight courses and improve or something like that. And it's always a challenge trying to find that balance. I think that balance has actually worked okay in this case because it's so exceptional. I've got to find ways to make the day-to-day data breach loading thing a little bit more efficient for the ones that are hundreds, thousands, or millions, or even tens of millions. But, you know, this is a bit exceptional. Wore a bit of pain. That's okay. So looking at my notes, I think that's really about it. There's a bunch of comments on here already with people asking questions, many of which have already been answered in the blog post. I do, if I'm honest, I get a little bit frustrated when I get particularly emails or DMs, people asking a question. It's like, well, I put it in the blog post. Like I literally put an FAQ. I just replied to someone earlier on and said, there is literally an FAQ here. And the person, I'm going to find the response now because I found it was kind of funny. I've said, this is already explained in the blog post. I mean, it was, the question is literally, how do I search the data? And it's like, well, it's in the blog post. And the guy says, yeah, but you write such a long story that it is difficult to know where the important part is. Yet you took the time out to ask me the question and then wanted like a personalized response rather than reading the thing I've already written. Anyway, you know, like it's not a major thing in the scheme of things. Maybe I'm tired, but I just found it a little bit odd. So that's that. I'm going to have many more questions, I'm sure, around those, and I'll try and keep answering those as I can. I'm a little bit fearful. I'm going to get on the plane tonight as like Europe starts waking up, and then I'll be off the air for 14 hours or something, and I'll wake up and it will just be an absolute nightmare of tweets and messages and things. But, you know, that's the nature of it. So last thing, because really there's nothing else to talk about this week because that's where the entire week has gone to, and I'm doing this a day early. Last thing is another new sponsor. And I mentioned a little while ago that I had a couple of new sponsors that you're going to see very predominantly throughout, particularly the first half of this year. That sponsor is Varonis. Varonis was actually a sponsor. I think they had one or two slots last year. But for the most part, new, as in a bulk of time. I've done a bunch of things with Varonis before. So I have made a number of courses for Varonis. I've done things about ransomware and web security essentials and a whole bunch of other things for them. I've done some talks with them at RSA. I did a talk with them in London for InfoSec EU in the middle of the year as well. So we actually have a relationship that goes back quite a way. So it's really nice to have a sponsor on that I have worked closely with before. And they do some cool stuff. So this week they're talking about a live workshop, watch the Varonis DFIR team investigate a cyber attack using a data-centric security stack. So that is worth a look. Like I say, they are a proper reputable company that I am happy to actually have up there. So you're going to see them and last week's sponsor Twilio alternating week by week for about the first half of the year. And they do have different messages and different things I'll be talking about and that I'll be relaying here. So big thanks to Varonis for their support on this. So that is definitely it for now. I've got to go back and start answering emails and things. And next week, I will absolutely positively be coming from Oslo. By then, I will have snowboarded and I will be at the NDC security event. So I might even do another one of these with Scott Helm as well. People seem to like Scott, so I'll do one with him too. Thank you very much for watching, and I will see you from the colder side of the world next week.